Let's open our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 2 today. Exodus chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. You know, the book of, the book of Exodus is the second of five books that are written by Moses. Genesis is the book of beginnings. That's the book that teaches us God's providence in the lives of His people. You remember the story there of Joseph and his brothers. You remember there that the wicked aims of his brothers were used by God really to preserve his people. You remember there in Genesis that God promoted Joseph to second in command there in Egypt. You know that Joseph got along well with the Pharaoh. In Genesis 47, that chapter tells us that the Pharaoh invited Joseph's family to come and to settle in the land of Egypt there and gave them really the best of the land as a residence there for them. But then in the book of Exodus, when Exodus opens up, it opens up telling us that Egypt has now gotten a new Pharaoh. There's a new king there in Egypt. And chapter 1 of Exodus in verse 8 tells us that this new king, this was a king which knew not Joseph. And he's threatened by the strength of the people of Israel, and he begins a course to weaken them. First, he afflicts them with very heavy labor. You remember there in the midst of all of that labor, he's increasing the demand of work and he's reducing their supplies for the work. He's intending to weaken the people. And then he tells the midwives to destroy the male children that are born. Right upon their birth, these midwives are to destroy them. Well, the midwives, the scripture tells us, they feared God. And so they would not do that. And so therefore then the king decrees that all boys that are born, he tells all the people, the boys, these little Hebrew boys that are born, they must be cast into the Nile River. If it's a girl, little child, then they're able to keep that one. But any young boys that are born are to be thrown into the Nile. And that's where we pick up here in chapter 2 with the story of one of those little boys, which, of course, is the well-known Moses. Look at what the Scripture says here in Moses in Exodus chapter 2 and beginning with verse 1. And there went there a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister, the Moses' sister, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." That's the passage that we're looking at today. And as we consider the events that are surrounding the life of Moses and Moses' birth, I want us to focus for a few minutes here on the life of his mother, of Jochebed. Jochebed and her husband, Amram, already had two children. Moses' older sister, Miriam. Miriam was probably, I think we could safely guess, somewhere in her upper elementary years. Probably somewhere in that ballpark, maybe junior high years. And then Aaron is about 3 years old when Moses is born. Moses, you know, was born into a very difficult time with the people of God and their life there in Egypt. It was a difficult time. And we understand that difficult times often reveal to us what our real character is like. It's in the difficult times of life where what's really on the inside rises to the surface. When things flow smoothly in our lives, it's very easy for us to get along. And it's very easy for us for things to just look okay. And we want to make sure things look okay. It's easy to do that when everything is flowing well. But when we are in the deep valleys of life, when we're in the really challenging days, when we've gotten some difficult news, that's when our real character begins to come to the surface. That's when we begin to really see what we're made out of, if I could use that expression. And so we're going to see here in the difficult days, troubling days here for the people of God in this pagan land. And as they're there in the midst of those challenging times, we're looking at a woman right in that setting. And you're going to see really some stellar character. And a good model for moms today, and not only moms, but for all of us to emulate in our lives. And the relationship that's portrayed here between Jochebed and her son Moses, I want you to focus this morning on five different marks of a Christian character that would be godly responses for any mom. And that's really what I want us to look at this morning. Five godly responses for a mother. Let's ask God to help us as we look at His Word this morning. Dear God, thank You for life examples that You give to us in Your Word. Thank You that we are blessed as we read Your Word to not only have Your commands and Your instruction to us in this way, but You've given us examples. You've given us life stories that we can read and grow and learn from. And we know that You've given them to us for our own admonition, that we might grow and learn from these examples and emulate them in our own lives. And so we pray that Your Spirit would teach us today. We pray that each mom this morning would be encouraged and also challenged today as we look at this passage. And so help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice five different responses here. And here's the first one. A godly mom, a mom prizes her children. She prizes them. Here this little fellow is born, and the Scripture tells us that she saw that he was a goodly child. The word goodly there in the text is a word that has the idea of beautiful. It has the idea of healthy. In Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, when he's giving the history here of the people, he calls Moses exceeding fair, is what Stephen calls him. That Hebrew idiom there that's translated goodly, it also has the idea of desirable. Something, of course, that's beauty, something beautiful, something that's healthy. We might would describe that as desirable. It's something that we might care about. It's something that we might be fond of. It's something that we might want to have. We might want to keep. That's the idea of this word here. The idea is she gave birth to a son, and she sees that he's beautiful and healthy, and she's longing to keep him. There's a desire there to have this goodly child, and so she hid him for 3 months. You know, mothers are often that way. Mothers see the bright side in the lives of their children. Mothers have, especially when they're born, they look at that little one and they have great hopes for that future, the future of that child. That's the way mothers are. Mothers want those children close to them. And that's a very natural thing. That's a very natural affection that mothers have for their children. Right from the get-go, mothers are that way. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 49, here the prophet is looking for an example of the faithfulness of God, the steadfast love and commitment that God has to His people. And what the Spirit of God draws from in making an illustration of steadfast love and absolute commitment, He draws from a mother. And He says in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, He says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now, He's talking about the faithfulness of God. And the illustration that He draws is the life of a mother. And He says, is it possible? Can a woman forget a nursing child? Is that even possible? And I don't have the rest of the text on here, but the way the text goes on to say, it says this. Well, she could. She might, but I will never forget you. He's talking about His steadfast love. And the point I want to make with this verse is that that is the illustration that the Spirit of God uses. He's pulling out what could be the most faithful, the most committed love that you could possibly have. And the illustration that He gives is the love of a mother with a nursing child. That's the illustration that He gives. Of all human relationships, of all human examples that could be drawn to show this, that's what He chooses. And of course, that's a mother's love. It's a very natural thing. It's a natural thing that God gives to a woman to love and to nurture and to care for her child. And everybody, every woman here, you know exactly what we're talking about here. That's the heart of a mother. That young child can grow up and become a vile and a wicked child, and that mother's heart will love him. That mother's heart will be drawn to him. That mother's heart will be grieved for him. Someone else may just be ready to just give up on him and just let, but that not that mother. She prizes her children. And you see that here in the life of Jochebed and Moses. That sometimes when a lady goes through an abortion, when a woman makes a choice to take the life of her child, she often will deal with struggle. She'll be given counsel that she'll be required to have to help her work through this in her mind and her heart, because she's done something that's just unnatural. And so she needs this guidance and help and stuff. And this is the picture here. I mean, you're talking, can a mother forget her sucking child? That's just like impossible. That's the picture that you've got here. She prizes her child. No matter what other people may say. Remember reading of Thomas Edison's mom. As a young fella, Thomas Edison, his teacher, sent a note home with his mom saying that Thomas Edison said to her, "Your son, he's not going to be able to make it." The illustration, the word they used was, he's just dumb. We're not going to be able to teach him. And the mom says that to the teacher there, "You don't know my son. I'll teach him." And she brought him home and she taught him with the results that we're all very well aware of. A godly mom, she prizes her child. And a godly mom prizes that child as a gift
from God that God has given to her for just a brief few fleeting years that that little girl is going to be in that home. She prizes her child. Not only does she prize her child, I want you to notice next in the end of verse 2, she protects the child. She protects her children. Here you've got Moses' mother choosing a hiding place for her child. And it had to be a place where that little boy would not be seen. It had to be a place where he would not be discovered by Pharaoh's soldiers who are seeking everywhere to murder these Jewish male children. I mean, that's what the whole decree was about. The Pharaoh was going to weaken these people, and he's on a mission. And so she's having to take the steps to hide this child. And it's really hard to imagine something more difficult. It's hard to imagine something more challenging than a mother trying to hide a healthy, growing baby boy, which she does for 3 months. She hides this little one. You can imagine that this mom she's trying to protect this little fella from Pharaoh's deadly decree. He's seeking the physical life of Moses and any other child like him. And this mother is wanting to protect him from this. And we ought, moms, all of us here ought to be committed. I know you're committed to protecting the physical life of your children. I mean, you want to make sure that they're cared for and they're nurtured and their life is not in danger in any way physically. And that's we want to be doing that. But beyond that, there ought to be a real concentration on nurturing and protecting the spiritual life of the child. We ought to make sure that there's plenty of energy in protecting the soul of that child. And we need the same kind of tenacity that a mom might have to make sure her child is not in any physical danger. And she's very careful about that. She doesn't want any potential hazards around that young child. She wants to make sure that everything is put away and there are no dangers that child his life could be in danger of in his youth and inexperience. She's wanting to be very careful. And oh, that moms, that we would have the same kind of heart in protecting our children, the very soul of our children. And teaching them, and we'll say more about that later. There's so many. Here Pharaoh is the enemy, and he's made this decree, and so a mom wants to protect the child from that, Jochebed does. But there's so many other enemies that our children face, and moms, and we must be sure, you must be sure that you are nurturing and protecting the heart of that child. And we'll say more about that. And then I want you to notice in verse 3, she sacrifices for her children. She sacrifices for her children. Here's mom, Jochebed. The Bible says there, she took an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. You can imagine the sacrifices that are being made right now by this mother. You can imagine this little ark that's been made, probably of papyrus. We were showing you some Egypt slides. I showed you some papyrus that's being made. That the papyrus, a plant, it grows very abundantly along the Nile. And you would take that plant and you would weave it in into a, like you see a basket weave that we still use that term today, a basket weave. And you know what I'm talking about, just the intersecting strips of this papyrus that would be used and the twigs that would, you could imagine this mom and being very careful about this and taking this and making it as watertight as she possibly can, so this precious cargo that little ark is going to hold, everything is going to be everything is going to be okay. You can only imagine the grief and the heaviness of heart that this just doesn't seem right, that a mom should be in a position where this has to be done. But she's doing it, of course, to protect her child. But all the while that this is happening, you can imagine her thinking, this just doesn't seem like it should be. You can imagine the grief that's there. You can imagine the care with which she's putting the little art together. You can imagine how overboard she's going to make sure that this little art is going to be okay, that it's not going to have any leaks, it's going to be okay. This is my child that's going to be in this little ark. You can imagine the heartbreak and the challenge in her own soul and the prayers and the tears that are all a part of what's going on in fashioning that little ark. Imagine the last night. Here's Jochebed, and here's this little fella that's going to be going into this little ark. You can imagine the last night there. Maybe everyone else is sleeping, but not Moses' mother. You can just imagine. There's not a moment to spare here of this precious little bit of time left with this little one. And you can imagine the challenge of all of that. You can imagine through the night she's praying that God would shield and protect this little baby, that He would bless the work of her hands, and that everything would be okay. You can imagine the next morning at dawn her kissing that little fella goodbye. You can imagine her placing him in that ark and then hiding him among the reeds and rushes that are there. You can imagine the aching heart that's there in the life of this mom. She's done all she can do. She's waiting now to see what's going to take place. It's so interesting to see in the next few verses the providence of God throughout this. Here she's done what she could. She's placed them where she's placed them. And then here comes the Pharaoh's daughter. The Pharaoh's daughter is bathing herself along the Nile River. Her attendants are walking along the Nile, no doubt, making sure she's safe where she is. And she's bathing. Her attendants are there. And then she comes upon this little ark. She opens the ark, has one of her attendants retrieve it, and she opens the ark, and here's this little baby that's crying. Off not too far in the distance is Miriam, Moses' sister, waiting for this time, hoping that things are going to work the way God is providentially pouring them out. And here Miriam sees the little one, and Miriam suggests here, when the Pharaoh's daughter opens up and sees this is a Hebrew child, and then Miriam says, "Well, do you want me to go find a Hebrew mom to take care of him?" And of course, all in the providence of God, the Pharaoh's daughter says yes, and find one of those. And so she comes and brings Moses' mother, and then says, "Okay, you take care of him, and I'll pay you to do this." And there's so much of the providential working of God all the way through those next several verses, when you see God working and putting Moses right into the arms, really, of his mother. And then I want you to notice in verse 9, the Bible says, "The woman took the child and nursed it." A fourth aspect in the life of a mother is that she nurtures. She nurtures her children. Here she's taken that little fella back and she's nursed him. You can just imagine Jochebed's response here in everything that's gone on now, and what she was anticipating early on, And now to see the providence of God putting that very child, her own child, back into her own arms for her to nurture and to care for. You can just imagine the what's going on in her heart. And here she is nurturing her own child. Moms do that. There's a lot of nurturing that takes place that moms, particularly, God has equipped well for. You know, a nurse at a hospital can care for a little child. You know, our daughter that works at a pediatric ER, and our daughter Jessica, she can spend a lot of time caring for a little one that comes into the hospital. But no nurse can care and nurture in the same way that a mom does. God just gifts them and equips them in that special way. And there's a lot of strength and power in the life of a mom. The way a mom comforts the heart of a child, the inspiration that a mom can give, like no one else can. The song of a mom, like no one else. A mother's love and the way that love drives her to do all kinds of things to help and nurture that child. There's a lot of nurturing that goes on. And I just want to take a moment here, moms, just to challenge us that in all of the normal nurturing that a mom would do, and all the caring for the physical needs of that child that moms do, I just want to remind us, moms, I just want to just challenge us with the responsibility there, not only to nurture the life, the physical life, but to nurture the heart, to nurture the spiritual life of that child. How essential that is. And your child, yes, your children need they need your love. They need your acceptance. They need your nurturing. They need all of that in their lives. But beyond that, they need to be taught the Bible. They need to be where there's Bible preaching. They need to be in a church where they're going to see examples, and they're going to be loved by a church family, and they're going to find some examples among that group of believers for them to emulate. They need that kind of nurturing. And mom, that really is going to start with you from the time that they're just born and that their little life. As you're teaching and caring for them, don't neglect to care for the soul. Don't neglect to nurture that. Don't neglect to be sure that child is learning the ways of God, that they're learning the truth of God. Make sure that they come to understand who God is. Make sure that they come to understand that God made them, and that the devil created all kinds of havoc in the world when our first parents sinned. And make sure that they understand that they're sinners. You might be the very first one to teach them that. You might be the very first one to teach them that, yes, God created them. That's where they came from. But our first parents sinned, and the result of that is that they became sinners. And because they're sinners, they'll be forever separated from their Creator. You might be the first one to teach them that. You might be the first one to give them the good news that even though they're sinners, and even though because they're sinners, they're headed to an eternity separated from God, that God loves them. And so He sent them a Savior in Jesus Christ. Mom, just think of that. You might be the first one to be able to give the gospel to your child. Don't neglect those opportunities. Just think, you can give your child a lot. You can be sure in all of your nurturing that there's a lot that child has. But it would be a tragedy for your child to be able to grow up in your home. And your child, I mean, you have nurtured the mind of that child. I mean, you worked with the phonics early on in that little one's life. Man, you were just delighted when they read so at such a young age. And you began to teach them and you put all kinds of things. And they grew up with just a very bright mind. You nurtured them and you wanted to see them learn to play an instrument. And they began to show some signs of that early on in their life, some aptitude for music. And so you were putting stuff in front of them. And you sacrificed. You did without things that you might like to have yourself so that you could pay for music lessons, so that you could train them and teach them, and so they would develop an instrument and learn a love for music. Or maybe your child had an aptitude for sports, and so you wanted to make sure that they were involved, and you bust them around everywhere. I mean, you were the taxi that just could take them everywhere. But listen, you can nurture all of those things in the life of your child, and it would be a tragedy for them to grow up and have the brightest mind and be a very fine musician and be an all-star athlete and not know how to live their life. That would be a tragedy. And there are moms today that's their focus. They want to give their child every possible opportunity that there is. And they'll cart them everywhere to make sure they have all of these various opportunities. But if they grow up and they have all of these skills and all of these abilities, but they don't know how to get a hold of God. They don't know how to live their life. They've not learned moral. They don't have a moral compass about them. They don't understand how to seek God in their lives. That would be a tragedy. Matter of fact, Mom, the very greatest thing that you could give your child is to see your child grow up and be on a trajectory where they have learned to seek God. That's the very greatest thing that you could give your child. You can't give your child a heart for God. You can't do that. Every child has to come to that point in their own life where they begin to recognize that God loves them and God sent them a Savior and they've trusted Jesus Christ and they begin to grow in their Christian life and they begin to develop a heart for God. You can't give that to them, but you can and you should have an environment in your home that is such where there is fresh, fertile soil for them to grow up in and then to be put on that kind of trajectory. That should be essential for every mom. And I just want to take a moment, in a moment of wanting to encourage our moms with the vital role that you have and all of the nurturing that you do, be sure that this element is not left out in your child's life. It is the very core of their life. And a godly mom nurtures her children. Just remember, Mom, you don't really know who it is that you're training. I doubt that Jochebed knew just what she was training. I doubt that she knew that. She certainly had great hopes, but she didn't know that she was going to be nurturing the one that God would use so dramatically in the life of the people of Israel. You don't know what you're nurturing in that little life. But you want to be able to nurture it in such a way that it will be a vital, a tool in the hand of God that God can take because you've set them on that kind of a trajectory. She prizes, she protects, she sacrifices, she nurtures. And then finally, verse 10, she releases her children. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She releases her child. She gave up her child to do what it was that would be the will of God in his life. And that's important, moms, for all of us to grasp, every mom here this morning, and to be able to grasp, you know, I have great hopes for my child. But God has a plan for his life. And your great desire, mom, ought to be that your child grows in the ways of the Lord and gets set on his or her life path doing what it is that God wants him to do. That should be your greatest joy. Don't make your greatest joy to have them tucked right around and next to you. Don't make that your greatest joy. Everybody understands. Everybody loves a family, and we understand that. You know, we know we have as well with Leatherwoods, and many of you here. You have grandchildren that live near you, and there's great to joy that comes in that. But don't make the focus being, I want wherever my children are, I want them right around me. It may not be the will of God for that to be. It may be that God is going to have them serving Him across the states somewhere. It may be that God's going to have them serving across an ocean somewhere. And what your greatest desire should be, I want them to be right where it is that God has planned for them. That's where I want them. And you must be careful, Mom. Dads as well. But today's for moms. We must be careful, Mom, that you're not, even by the very words that you say, you're not planting in the lives of your children the mindset that if we're not right around Mom, she is not going to be a happy camper. You ought to set in the lives and mindsets of your children, honey, sweetheart, son, Mom wants you to be wherever it is that God has planned for you. That's going to be the very best thing for your life, and it's going to be the very best thing for our lives, because you're going to be right where God wants you. And so you're going to nurture them and you're going to guide them with that kind of mindset. That's the greatest thing that we can, and be willing to do that. During the years that God allows your child in your home, you give yourself wholeheartedly to him or to her. But give yourself wholeheartedly to teaching them to love God, to know God, to serve God, to go and do the will of God in their lives. And that'll be the very best. You say, well, that's really tough to do. It is tough to do. But you'll notice the verse that's in your bulletin, the verse that Brother Andrew referenced. It's the very last verse I want us to look at this morning, and you see it there on the screen, Hebrews 11:23. It's going to take faith, Mom. It's going to take you trusting God, Mom. That's what it'll be. Jochebed, Amram, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid. He was hid by faith 3 months of his parents. And they did this by faith. And by faith they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There was plenty to be afraid of in the king's commandment unless you recognize there was a greater king. And by faith, you are willing to live, Mom, above this world. And you're willing to trust God. And so, as you prize, or as you protect, or as you sacrifice, or as you nurture, as you release, as you just give, you're doing all of this by faith. And have a growing confidence in God and God's work to sustain and guide and help in the life of your child. That's the kind of... Now, I know many children in this room today, you have had the joy, you have had the privilege of being able to grow up in a home with a mom like that. And you ought to thank God for that, and you ought to thank them. Not everyone has that privilege. And if you have had that privilege, if in the providence of God, God has allowed you that particular privilege, you ought to make sure that you are thanking the Lord for that. And do make sure you're thanking your mom. Don't let the day go by, or even the days of your life go by, without regularly thanking your mom for the influence that you have, she has given in your life, and the training that she has given you, the trajectory that she has sent you on. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful for that. So moms, I hope God will use our time this morning in the Word to just encourage you. But not only encourage you, but to challenge you as well. To continue on seeking to nurture your children in the ways of the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for moms that you have given to us. Thank you for the example that we have considered this morning. And we pray that in our own lives, we might as children be grateful for moms that you have given to us. And we pray that we might be intent on regularly expressing our appreciation for what you have given to us in moms like that. And for every mom this morning that's here, dear God, we pray that you would guide and bless their lives to this end, that they might be these kinds of mothers. We pray that they might in their own lives seek you and teach their children to seek you, and that you might continue to use them greatly for your glory. Bless our invitation time now, we pray, in Jesus' name.